I'm Jessica Urueña, and I am Charlene's guest on the Hiring Stories podcast.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
So just to be aware of the context and who you are, could you just tell us what you're doing in your life and whose company you're working for?
Sure. So my name is Jessica Urueña. I live in Toronto. I am the senior manager of talent acquisition at the TMX Group, and we own and operate the Toronto Stock Exchange. Wow. So I'm really excited to be here today.
Thank you, Jessica. And if I remember well on your background, you've been working inside an agency, right? And now you're in the corporate side. Does
yes.
that make a difference in your day-to-day as a recruitment specialist? Or can you tell us about that? Did it have a clash or not? Can you give us insights on that?
Yeah, so it was definitely an interesting transition for sure. You know, agency is agency. It's very go, 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 very fast. But I really wanted to be part of the bigger sort of investment and connection to the business. And that's sort of what led, in addition to, you know, my background and my education in HR, you know, I really wanted to feel like I was making an impact in the business in a different way. So I decided to try to make that transition to a more corporate role. And I would say that that's really, you know, the only difference. You know, there are periods of time at TMX when we've got a rec load similar to what I would have had in an agency. So there's not much difference in that standpoint. But I would say that, you know, that investment and connection to the business and really being able to see the fruits of your labor, you know, in, you know, seeing yeah. someone that you hired in a meeting, in an earlier role, move into a position in management or, you know, anything like that, you know, you can actually see how that goes. Whereas in agency, you know, you're really only hearing from those people when they get promoted, if they need you to fill additional jobs. Right. So that was something that I felt was a really big change for me. And it was definitely an adjustment for sure. Getting used to dealing with, you know, the different internal clients and that type of relationship building is completely different than external clients.
And did you notice that you were more focused on relationships with the clients actually or not? Because so far what I've noticed from the recruitment recruiters coming from agencies is that they're really interested in focusing on building client relationship, and they're business-wise, they're more focused on that. But I'm not sure if you really noticed that or if you didn't see any difference from you and, for example, colleagues who's always been in the corporate side.
Well, I think that it's unique to our model at TMX, where we're more of a talent partner instead of a talent acquisition specialist. So we really have that sort of similar agency focus when it comes to your clients and your client relationship management, because we are immersed in the business and, you know, we're really getting to know our various kind of assigned portfolios. So there is some overlap. And I think that my experience in agency really helped me with that transition and building those relationships and identifying needs with my various clients. But I think that the biggest advantage that I think, you know, I could take from agency and moving into corporate is the ability to pivot, right? Which you need to be able to do when you're a recruiter. You know, you have to be able to sort of pivot and think of different and unique ways to sort of, you know, find different talent. And it also helps me to leverage on that experience when I'm sourcing for more difficult roles and also when I'm building relationships with vendors like Humanify, for example, right? I know what it's like. I know, and it's easier to set expectations that way when you have that background too.
And yeah, I can definitely say that I feel the difference with clients who've been in agencies beforehand. They really understand the reality, the context, and the work behind just, you know, doing Boolean search is not only what we do. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what about that? You know, I think we're not obliged, but I think it's a must do to speak about the context right now. Did you notice a difference? I'm curious about the candidate relationship management or even the you know, your managers. Did you feel a difference since the pandemic in how you collaborate with them, how the candidate react in the process and everything around that?
Well, I speak for myself, and I think that, you know, everyone at the beginning of this COVID-19 situation was sort of like, what is happening? You know, like, what is going on? What are we doing? is anybody going to have a job tomorrow? Like, there was just so much uncertainty, and there still sort of is, even as we try to sort of semi go back to something, I guess, some sense of normalcy. And I would say that, you know, we definitely had our experiences with, you know, candidates ghosting us, you know, going like MIA, one day everything is fine. You present an offer and then they just disappear, you know, which it's not anything I would say, you know, more or less, because it happens, you know, few and far in between, but it still happens. But I would say we definitely noticed with candidates that there was a lot of feedback about uncertainty and job security. And I think it really speaks volumes to like the state of our organization that we were able to continue to hire at such a high volume, even throughout this process. But it really required us to, you know, have those difficult conversations about budgeting and stuff with hiring managers, understanding, you know, certain things and certain positions might have gotten put on hold or, but for the most part, I think that hiring managers, receptive, eager to hire, it was, if anything, faster than we normally would have had to onboard people and looking at our onboarding, you know, holistically and changing it from the ground up. But then from a candidate side, there definitely was a lot of feedback from candidates about not wanting to make a move or not really being sure. There was a lot of hesitation. And then I also found too that we got a lot of really great feedback from candidates who maybe weren't as sure about if their position in their organization was going to be around and wanting to stay in touch and sort of go from there. So I would say, you know, it's sort of gone both ways. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys in terms of, you know, your response from candidates, if it's been less or more, but I did find that, you know, at the beginning, everybody was sort of unsure. And then it started to like, you know, an influx of new candidates as I think unfortunately, you know, companies started to make some of those hiring decisions and, you know, those terminations started happening. But I think overall, you know, now we're sort of at some sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it seems to have gone sort of back to somewhat of normal, but definitely there was quite a bit of uncertainty at the beginning.
Okay. Were you guys already in 100% video conference process or did you?
Yeah. So it definitely helped with our transition. You know, we had already started to implement a lot of video screening for our sort of first round phone screen with our talent partners. We had already really started to do that. And we're always, you know, giving candidates the option that, you know, if a video conference or video interview was, you know, more convenient for them, absolutely. So that really helped us. And, you know, as an organization, we went through a really big digital transformation over the past few years that included, you know, HR.
Yeah.
And automating and all this, on automating our processes and kind of looking at new ways of interviewing and things like that. So this transition, you know, from a overall process standpoint was pretty smooth for us. You know, the onboarding and things like that, there were some kinks we had to work out, but we were already doing video interviewing and using Google Meet for a ton of different meetings and all this stuff internally, as well as with external candidates. So it helped, you know, us kind of, I guess, move into that 100%, right?
Yeah. And you have offices in Toronto and Montreal,
right? And Calgary and Vancouver and London. So, you know, we're kind of used to sort of that, you know, different time zone, global sort of thing. So again, it worked out well in terms of that transition because we were already comfortable using the tool. We didn't have to scramble to find something.
I would say that on our side, and definitely makes sense. And on our side, it was the same thing, meaning that we were already used to doing video interviews, but we realized that we were doing more and more of them, and it allowed us to kind of enter in an intimacy zone with the candidates because they were at home. So it was less formal and they were able to communicate more easily about what they feel, what they need, what they expect from the employer or what has been tough on the previous month. So I don't know, it allowed us to be more closer to the candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And you know what? I think it kind of goes both ways too, because sometimes I find like there are certain, you know, hiring managers, for example, who haven't done video interviews before. And for them, it's a really like new sort of learning experience. And there has to be some coaching there as well, because you can imagine, you know, if you're used to a face-to-face interview and you want to do some whiteboarding for a technology role, okay, let's figure out how we can do that in this sort of virtual world, right? So that was definitely interesting.
And it allows, you know, to have some weird or funny moments. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, for you guys who can't see us, we're recording the podcast in a video conference way. And my cat just showed up a minute ago, mewing at everything. So, you know, it's those kind of moments which allow us to, you know, be cool in the interview. And maybe it's helping candidates to feel like, okay, it's a real human. He's yep. trusting as me in this meeting. And it's helping a lot. So yeah.
Exactly. So true. Yeah.
Let's say you're speaking to yourself, to the Jessica back then, you know, back in the days, you were speaking to yourself and you have the option to give yourself, I don't know, maybe an advice, or for the recruiters who are listening to us and beginning their career, what would you say to them? What would you give as advice, or something you did that you wouldn't do again, or something you learned that you wish you had learned before? What would you
sure.
say?
Yeah. So there's a few things actually. So, and I love this question because I love looking back on, you know, some of my earlier cringe yeah. sort of moments when you first start as a recruiter and you're talking to somebody at about a role or like a technology that you know nothing about. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. I would say, you know, the most important thing would be to listen. And I mean, genuinely listen. So when you ask a question, really listen to the answer and absorb that information. And I would encourage anyone who, you know, is starting out in recruitment to be naturally curious, like allow yourself to ask questions, you know, within reason, of course, but ask as many questions as you possibly can to absorb as much information as you possibly can. That's the best way to put it, to be like a sponge. And why I say that is it kind of leads into sort of, I guess, the next piece of advice is that why it's so important to listen is because at the end of the day, you know, you are working with people, right? So you can't control how someone's brain works. You never can, right? And my biggest piece of advice to anyone, especially to myself, was, you know, you're dealing with people. You cannot say, you know, you cannot know what decision they're going to make or what they're going to say or how they're going to react to a certain piece of information. Everything could be going perfectly. And then in an interview, in one instance, a hiring manager could, or an interviewer could ask a question or tell something about a role that may just change their mind completely. And you'll never know that. So I think it's really important to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I also say, you know, that very early on in my career, a mentor of mine told me about an acronym. It's called a WIFM, so W-I-I-F-M. So it's what's in it for me. And mm-hmm. you should always think about that from a candidate's perspective. So that would be my biggest advice to anyone starting out in recruitment that may be struggling and, you know, can't understand why they have turn downs or, you know, not sure why, you know, the candidate renegotiated or wasn't interested in the position. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you can understand their WIFM, like by listening and asking those questions, and you can really make a big difference in the experience, because I've always been a firm believer that, you know, you're really helping someone to make one of the biggest decisions in their life when you're a recruiter, yeah. starting yeah. a new job. Even for millennials like me, where, you know, they say your average lifespan in your job is 2 years or whatever, it's yeah. still a big decision, right? You know, sure. like it's going to be how somebody's going to be able to afford to buy a house or buy a car or get married, or you never know, right?
Yeah.
So I always say, like, if you think about those different things and you keep in your back of your mind, you know, that WIFM and how big of a decision that this is, you really can't go wrong. And trust your gut.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. First of all.
I know. Isn't that like, I know. Isn't that, everybody always is like, oh my God, that's the worst advice you can give someone. But I am a firm believer in, like, especially when you're dealing with people, yeah. you know, and you're dealing with big decisions like this, you always get a gut feeling about yeah. things.
Definitely. I would say trust your guts and rely on data to confirm it. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely agree on that. And about I love the advice you gave about asking questions, because it's the heart of your work. If you don't have the proper informations to give, you know, a proper experience to your candidate, and, you know, you don't always talk to a candidate in a general way. You won't have the same storytelling for a developer, let's say, as for an accountant. And maybe a guy who's going to be married is going to be looking for stability, and a young worker is going to be searching for, I don't know, new ways of learning.
Yeah, exactly. Or like exposure to new things, right?
Exactly.
And yeah. that's why I feel like, as, you know, especially like an agency recruiter, you know, you have a lot of sort of sales influence in your pitch about different roles. And even as a corporate recruiter, right? A lot yeah. of it is that you're effectively selling your organization's opportunities. But I think people forget that, you know, the focus should be on the candidate, right? And yeah. what their needs are and what their motivations are. Because it's very easy for recruitment professionals to blab away all day long about how amazing my company is and what we offer and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, that's all important, of course.
Yeah.
But like, look at that from the, it should always be from a candidate perspective. It shouldn't be from an employer perspective. It should be from an employee perspective. And that's where that WFM piece comes in, right? Is knowing and understanding what motivates them. Because, you know, the way that you're going to describe a position to one person based on their motivations from that listening that you did is going to be completely different from another with different motivations from that listening that you did, right?
So. Yeah. Definitely. And what about, what would you say for, let's say, a recruiter who's, and I guess you've been in this position for sure, like you've been beginning on a, I don't know, role in an industry you don't know at all, and you're facing the hiring manager and you have questions, but you don't feel comfortable, or you're asking yourself, should I ask that? About, you know, this fear of asking the wrong questions or losing credibility in asking questions. What would you say about that? How did you feel when you lived this situation?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been there like a million times, especially, you know, when you're at the very beginning of your career. And for me specifically, you know, I started my recruitment career in technology recruitment, like in an agency working on IT roles specifically. I couldn't even populate an Excel sheet at that point. Like, I was coming from a retail background, like, you know, I fashion retail. I had no idea about anything to do with technology. And all that I did was ask candidates and clients to explain things to me in a way that they would explain to, you know, a five-year-old who had no experience whatsoever. Yeah. And I found that that was actually a very popular interview question, you know. For me, for example, when I was qualifying candidates, I'd be like, okay, explain to me, you know, how this XYZ technology works in a way that you would describe it to like a 75-year-old woman, for example, you know, something like that. So that they would almost, and I hate to use the word, but almost sort of dumb it down in a way to a way that was, you know, able for someone like me as a non-technical individual to absorb. But I always say, you know, for any role specifically, and for any meeting in particular, always be prepared and do a little bit of research beforehand. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing a quick Google search and finding, you know, some information and bringing that to your meeting or your intake session with your hiring manager and saying like, hey, you know, I did some preliminary research. This isn't an area that I'm familiar with. I acknowledge that. This is the research that I've done. Am I on the right track? Because I think that there's nothing worse than, you know, going into a meeting and pretending like you know something. And then when push comes to shove, it's like, What do I do?
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it is good until you can't make it. You know what I mean? So, you kind of have to, you know, you have no choice, but it's really, really, really important for individuals in recruitment roles to be self-aware and be aware of their own skill sets. And that's actually professional advice in general, I find, is be self-aware of your own knowledge base. At the end of the day, no one's going to be upset at you for asking, you know, a question and making sure that you have all the information that you need to, and in the end, help them, right? So
definitely.
That's my advice.
Definitely. And it's a very good one. I love it.
Thank you.
You were speaking beforehand at the beginning of the podcast about automating part of the process and everything inside of your business. And I've heard a lot of things recently about, you know, recruitment will be automated. What about humans? We won't need humans anymore. What's your opinion on that? I know there's always two teams about that.
So this is the thing. So I absolutely detest when people say that, and that's my professional detest. I absolutely do not like when people say that, you know, recruitment is going to be completely automated and, you know, that we don't need humans anymore and all this stuff, because I am a firm believer, firm believer that you need that human interaction, that empathy, that, you know, observation from a human side when you're hiring someone for a team. Automation from a process standpoint, like, you know, resume parsing, things like that, I'm all for it, right? Eliminating those mundane tasks that we hate.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. I don't know. Can I say that?
Of course you can.
But yeah, you know, like all day long, like if I can work smarter, absolutely, right? But I definitely feel like, you know, interviews and things like that where, you know, you really need to assess the potential of an individual. I don't care what anyone tells me. There is no machine that can do that better than someone who is in a role, you know, a hiring manager, a leader, a mentor. there's no machine that can do that like someone who's going to lead this team and this individual, right, to assess potential. And I think that that's also super important too, like when we're targeting candidates and we're looking at hiring, right, it leads into like a point of, okay, well, we should never really be targeting like 110% of a job description, right? Yeah, we should always be kind of a little under, whether it's between 80, 90, you know, you want some learning, you want some development, you want some eagerness to, you know, step up to the plate and develop those skills, right? And again, a machine can't see that potential.
No, I agree. Definitely.
And even those tools that, you know, about like the reading the body language and, you know, is somebody lying and all those things, I would be really, really curious to see, you know, how that can work without bias, because at the end of the day, like even those algorithms are programmed by someone, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm always curious about all those things. So I definitely feel like from an empathy and like decision-making side, that human interaction is so necessary.
And I also agree about the administrative side of it, that yeah, definitely there's some part of the process which might be automated, and that will be relieved to know that it is. Definitely, we're losing a lot of times, as you said, about the resumes and even the data coming from what everything we do, even those interviews, you know, those video interviews, there's going to be a way to automate, to record it automatically, and that it's going to be in the candidate file automatically, and that we'll have resume of what we said automatically. I agree. Yeah.
I'm into like, I really actually, we talked about this in one of our meetings recently about, you know, that video phone screen where it's, you know, you answer a series of questions staring at a camera and you say your answers. But then I also thought like, okay, when I'm nervous, I just said I have ants in my pants. You know what I mean? I'm like nervous. I'm looking around, you know, I'm touching things. That's why, you know, I was told to put my pen away because I know I'm going to click it. Right. So think about someone who's, you know, nervous and there's no person on the other side to say it's okay.
Yeah, you're right. I've never felt about this way, but yeah, the nonverbal of the other.
The nonverbal. Talking to like a blank screen, right? Or, you know when you're like in an interview and you're like, I'm killing this because the person on the other line is like, yes, okay, you know, nodding and yeah, you know.
I agree, definitely. I've never thought of this side also, but yeah, makes sense, definitely.
Yeah.
My last question about another advice to a recruiter, whether it's level, someone who's facing, let's say, a difficult hiring manager, let's say he's looking for a purple squirrel, as we say, or he's not collaborating in a good way with the recruitment team, or he's taking 1 week to answer to those emails with great candidates inside of them and you need a feedback ASAP. How would you handle that?
So I guess my answer would sort of be like two parts. So first and foremost, you know, about like number one, setting expectations from like the very beginning, I think is so important in any situation where you're managing a client, a candidate, anything, especially where you're relying on, you know, someone else's sort of decision-making, right?
Yeah.
So setting expectations from the beginning, you know, feedback in a timely manner. Remember, we have to be respectful of people's time. These candidates are taking time to interview with us. They're showing a genuine interest in joining our organization and your team. So it is important that we get back to them in a timely manner. I also encourage hiring managers to put themselves in candidate shoes and think about experiences that they've had because they were a candidate once.
Yeah.
Think about the experiences that they have had, positive and negative, and put that forward into their interviewing, just like in anything that you do, right? Yeah. And then from a, I guess, purple squirrel sort of, you know, standpoint is that's always going to happen, you know, and I find that a lot of the times hiring managers, you know, in my experience, when they develop these purple squirrel job descriptions, it's because they've taken assets or skills from like five different people on their teams, and then they put it into one sort of mishmash and they're like, find me this person. But what we're not realizing is that, you know, Susie may have been in her role for 10 years, Brian may have been in his role for 6 years, and John may have been in his role for 3. So they've been in the organization for a long time and have acquired new skills through that experience, development, mergers, acquisitions, divestitures, whatever it might be, right? Yeah. So we need to factor in all of those things when we're talking to our hiring managers and being open and honest and using our experience and our data and our metrics to sort of show them, you know, that purple squirrel may not always be the best fit, right? Mm-hmm. And where can we upskill our current workforce? Where can we reskill some of our current workforce to fill in some of those gaps? And then when we do go out to market, we're looking for a position that is realistic, that we can, that there are individuals on the market, that they're not just skills specific to our company or industry, and where we're also providing a valuable learning experience for these potential new hires, right? Where, like I said, we're targeting at that 80 to 90% mark, right? So we have that gap in knowledge that isn't going to cost us any money, that isn't isn't going to push a project behind, that's still going to drive forward business, but provide learning and development for these individuals that are joining our organization. And really that sort of ability to mold these individuals onto your team, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that that's probably where I'm thinking. Oh, and you know what? Always put yourself in your hiring manager's shoes too, right? They okay. could have, you know, leadership, their senior leadership team saying, you know, that there's budgetary constraints or that you never know, their project could be behind and they may not have shared that with you and that mm-hmm. this hire is a critical piece that's missing in that puzzle, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's also where our roles as, you know, in a corporate environment come in, you know, with helping that partnership and having that partnership with the business to really help them to understand how they can manage these situations and be proactive when it comes to hiring too, right?
Okay, yeah, definitely. So it's all about resetting communication and letting them know that you're here to help and mm-hmm. maybe understand more about what they're doing on the back end.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And just be consistent in your messaging, right? That's so mm-hmm. important to like constantly communicate and, you know, really have some concrete examples. Like if you've been going out to market for a role for 3 months and you haven't found anyone and all those candidates that you've, you know, headhunted or screened and passive and, you know, the applicants and all that stuff, and they're all like not getting to that final stage. Well, that means that something that you're communicating out into the market isn't giving you that return on the time that you've invested, right? So that's when you got to rejig.
Yeah.
You know, and do all those things.
Yeah, and we always say that it's the story of the position which is as valuable as the hiring. So it's like, know your story. You've been working on that. It's not as if you weren't doing nothing and you don't have to give this impression to the hiring manager. But if you come to him saying, I found no one, and he's asking you why with that and everything, and you don't have it, you're the one making the mistake, not him.
Yeah,
you have to
be exactly. Yeah, there has to be like, you know, you have to actually go out to market. You can't just be like, yeah, I didn't find anybody because no one applied. Like, that's not our role as recruiters, right? And I think that that's sort of where I think there's like a misconception too about, you know, corporate versus agency recruitment is that, you know, okay, from an agency, you know that they're going to be identifying from their network, their, you know, passive candidates, their all this stuff, right? But there's no reason why corporate recruiters shouldn't be doing the exact same thing. We all essentially have the same similar networks, right?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much. Is there something else you'd like to share or to say, or maybe a last word to all of us recruiters listening to
you? You know what? I would just say, like, you know, the best thing that you can ever do when you're a recruiter is just be a genuine, honest person with tons of integrity, especially, you know, in today's industry where the job market is so competitive and, you know, it's really candidate driven. I would say, you know, just be yourself and listen to your candidates and your hiring managers and really identify their needs. Because at the end of the day, you know, we have an amazing job in the sense that, you know, we are able to provide people with opportunities that sometimes they may have never thought that they'd be able to get. And I think that that really speaks volumes to, you know, the type of work that we're doing, and especially during a situation like we're in now where, you know, a lot of people are in fear of losing their jobs and, you know, being able to continue to hire during this time and provide people with those opportunities is really rewarding. So I would say for people to just really embrace that.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Was that empowering?
Yes. I needed that today. Thank you very much.
Sometimes you need that reminder, right? Because like sometimes, you know, we know that, you know, things especially like I said at the beginning, when you're dealing with people, things don't always go your way. Sometimes you just need to hear that, you know, what you're doing is great work.
Wow. Thank you for that.
Maybe I should be a motivational speaker on the side
definitely, too. Definitely. You know, sending a newsletter every 2 or 3 weeks to all of us recruiters with a motivation quote or something.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to work on it.
Thank you for coming here with me, Jessica, by the way. That was lovely.
Thank you for having me.
Hiring Stories est disponible sur Apple Podcasts, Spotify et Google Play.